Hey, I'm Michael.
And I'm Greg.
And we're two new dads and the co-founders of a company called Lalo and your hosts of the Dad Pod, where we talk with cool dads doing cool stuff so we can learn a thing or two. Today on the Dad Pod, we have our first two-guest episode with brothers Andy and Nick Stone. Nick Stone is the CEO and founder of Bluestone Lane, and his brother Andy is the VP of marketing at Bluestone Lane. Today, we talk to Andy and Nick about what it's like to work together, raise families together, and bring their Australian heritage to America. Hey guys, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hello. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Yeah. How are you guys?
Very nice. The best elevator music I've ever heard.
That was pretty tranquil, was it? For a Friday morning. So, you know, I'm in the mood now. Thank you.
We're just trying to get you guys excited.
Yeah, that's how we amp up our guests, get them to listen to our intro music before jumping on.
Yeah.
But so this is our first show with two brothers that are dads. We're very excited for this first episode with two guests on at the same time, which is going to be new for us. Hopefully we each have time to all talk. But Andy, you're the newer of the two dads, and it's almost your daughter Harper's birthday.
Yeah.
And you're a girl dad. I'm a girl dad. I love being a girl dad. Did you guys know the sex before Harper was born, or like, did you know it was going to be a girl? How have you taken to being a girl dad?
Yeah, I'm pumped up to be a girl dad. We found out the gender like straight away, pretty much as soon as you could take that test to find out the sex. Even though I knew that it was a 50-50 chance that it could be a girl or a boy, I was not mentally ready to actually have a girl. And it's funny. It's only until I found out that I was having a girl that I was like, oh. So like all my childhood, thinking of playing with dad and kicking the football with my brother, that's all gone. Now I've got to get in my head what it's going to be like to have a little daughter growing up. Yeah, that was definitely something that caught me by surprise.
Well, not to gender anything, but she is born into a family that literally half the parents' business is making handbags. So,
yeah.
You know, that's, yeah. You know, there's a lean there, and, you know, she might love that or she might love coffee at the very least. But she has two options.
She'll definitely love coffee. What do you mean? It's in her blood.
Yeah.
But, you know, both of you, you know, had babies around the same time. Actually, my son was born this past April, and then my brother had a baby in September. So it's been a crazy ride for us. What's it been like for you guys having babies like right around the same time?
Well, from having a pandemic baby, so Harper's born in May. So just as Cuomo lifted the ban to allow husbands or a family member into the hospital, that was like the sort of scary part. The rest of it was pretty all right, because having a baby so young, you couldn't really take them out too much into the street. So a lot of it was just, you know, working from home and relaxing a little bit with baby when off times. Nick is in LA, so he's got like he's got a whole kind of like different experience where the kids could go out. I assume, Nick, what was it like for you?
Yeah, it was, I think for us, we have Arabella, who is now 3.5, and we have Oliver, who was born in August 2019. And I actually have a third on the way that's due only in four weeks.
Wow. So congratulations!
Yeah, so we have a COVID baby, as in it occurred during COVID when we were in lockdown. So listen, it was a very strange experience, because it was challenging explaining to the kids why they had to separate from others and why they had to wear masks and just be very sensible about playing with other children. And yeah, you know, it's not dissimilar to what everyone's gone through. We certainly were fortunate that we lived in a place where there's quite abundant parks and outdoor areas that we can walk to. So we're very, very fortunate from that perspective. But yeah, you know, it was really, really felt for Andy and Ash, because, you know, having their first child is a huge change in your life and huge change in responsibilities. And they were isolated, and we couldn't really be there for them. So, and our parents haven't had the chance to meet Harper, you know, Andy's been amazing and how positive he's remained. And it's not surprising. He's the type of guy, and It was great to finally meet Harper in October when I did travel to New York for a few weeks, and then I returned in March, and I just left. So we had a sort of good 2 month stint. But you know, it's something that we're all navigating with, and you know, I can't believe Harper's nearly won. And I think one of the things that's really been very challenging for the pandemic has been the inability of travel, particularly for our parents. They both, their sons, we're only sibling, you know, so we have one single sibling. Both sons live in the United States. All the grandkids live here. That has been pretty heartbreaking for them, but it is what it is. And we're healthy and everything's fine, but yeah, it's been hard.
Have you guys been able to FaceTime, or Andy, how have you dealt with the fact that Harper hasn't met her grandparents?
Well, look, technology is the great ability to really kind of like connect and see each other through FaceTime. That's been amazing to have that weekly check-in with both mom and dad. So they're separated. They live in two different cities and they've got their own partners. And so it's like two calls and it's constant check-ins. They're also on WhatsApp. So they're, you know, we do share photos and videos of Harper growing up. So, you know, I know that it means a lot to them just to kind of like get that constant check-in, but it has been hard. To Nick's point, like I know that mum has been, you know, particularly sad that she doesn't have her grandkids, you know, and you know, it's also being the time zone difference is it's really kind of like hard to, you're not available every night, and even once a week is a bit of a stretch, you know, it's tough because everyone's schedule is so busy. Now, particularly now, as the pandemic's lifting and more people are socializing, like we're vaccinated, Nick's vaccinated, I'm sure that you guys are as well. Like, you know, it does allow for everyone to move around and kind of have a busier life. But technology has been awesome just to be able to FaceTime and check in once a week, those little moments throughout the week.
Totally. And Nick, you became a dad first. You had Arabella, who's 3.5, I think you said.
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
And then you had your second, then Andy had his first. And did you feel like you were acting as a role model in any way for Andy as being the brother who became a dad first in any way?
What was the wisdom you shared with him?
Yeah, and what wisdom did you
what
share?
What wisdom did you share with me, Nick?
Yeah, just be prepared for a massive life adjustment. I think my advice was like to, if you want to go out, if you want to go out to the pub, or if you want to go to the restaurant, or if you want to go and work out in the morning, do it. Do it right now. Don't say no to anything, because when your child comes, you have a significant life adjustment. And you know, I always told that to Andy, that I don't think I fully appreciated, maybe nobody does, like how transformative the change is. Like, you know, you think about the big milestones, maybe, you know, getting engaged or getting married. No, you know, they weren't massive life adjustments. My wife and I were living together. We'd been together for a long time, and you know, we had independent careers, and then we liked to socialize and we liked to keep fit, and you know, we liked to travel. So when we had Arabella, because you're physiologically, the baby's not growing inside you, where you're not conditioning yourself to get ready to care for this, this person. I just couldn't believe when the baby arrived, like, I just couldn't do these things, the spontaneous things that you get so accustomed to. And I think that was one of my pieces of advice. But, you know, like Andy had done this, you know, the research, and I think, you know, had he formed his own opinions, and that's the way you got to do it. I think, you know, everyone's got subjective views, but ultimately you got to learn it yourself. You got to really bond with your partner and work out how you want to raise your child, and the disciplines around routine and all of that sort of stuff. And you know, how you're going to juggle your professional life and now your increased personal commitments. But you know, Andy,
it's amazing of like how looking at the pandemic, how lucky I was in one respect, because it made the whole world quiet and down. So the routine and just kind of like focusing on home, great, like focusing on work, focusing at home, was kind of like removed all of the outside clutter. So that is one of the kind of like looking back, the silver lining.
Gives you great perspective about working from home, right, as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think, Andy, you know, we as a company, everyone went into this disparate, fragmented workforce, and Andy just working from home, like how big a difference that was. And it certainly has given me And I think you're a great example of this, like a massive appreciation for the incredible benefits that having a more flexible work arrangement can provide. The amount of talent that can't enter the workforce or feels a barrier they can't overcome because of the need to go into commute into the office is extraordinary. There's just so much talent on the sidelines that maybe they can't work 5 days a week, but that, geez, they could do 3 days and they could be so productive. And that's an incredibly exciting thing for, I think, economies globally, but particularly in places like New York, where a lot of people commute in from the trade rings.
Totally. And you know, one of the things that we've spoken with a ton of people on the show about, but super impressed to see, I mean, Andy, Ashley, she works full-time as well. Mm-hmm. And you made a note here that you guys have never had a nanny. And of course, you're super busy as well. I mean, you mentioned how many Bluestone Lanes are opening up, but how do you guys balance all that?
Well, I will say that we have never had a nanny, but we do have Ash's parents, which is a huge help as well. So like if we did need to get out and focus a little bit, we can make the trip out to Huntington and drop Harper off for a night or two. So that has been a blessing. And, you know, no nanny, kind of like juggling it all. Ash is her own boss. She's her own designer. She and her warehouses or production facilities are overseas. So she was already kind of like working remote. So it does make it a little bit easier. But we tend to now do, you know, she'll work in her office Monday to Wednesday. So she'll bring Harper in, and then on Thursday, Friday, and over the weekend, I tend to be at home, so to help do sort of like daddy daycare and also work. But as you guys know, like kids grow up, so you know.
Yeah, once they're mobile.
Yeah,
and so like I Harper is almost walking. She's standing up. She's holding things. So it's not too much longer before we're really in the thick of it. And she's also a talker. Harper loves to talk. She doesn't know many words. She doesn't know any words really, but she just is babbling and she screams. So like it's to have a quiet moment on the phone or a podcast. Lucky I'm in San Francisco at the moment. Otherwise, it would not be easy.
Yeah. We don't mind those guests on our show either. But you guys work together too. I mean, Nick is the CEO of Bluestone Lane, and Andy, you came in and run marketing there. But what's it like to, I mean, you guys have so much of your lives intertwined, and now you're both dads together and going through a lot of the similar things together. What is that like? I can't even imagine that at all.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, that's like the conversation I'll have with my brothers. Like, man, personally, I feel like my brother and I would rip each other's heads off, but you guys seem to have made it work. So what is the secret?
Well, Nick is the founder and CEO. So it's like I've come in and it's been a great collaboration, but Nick is very much, you know, as much as he's a banker and he's a CEO, he's also a brand guy and a strategist. So that's been easy to kind of combine and collaborate. In all honesty, it's been a treat over, you know, as much as the coronavirus has been, you know, detrimental to business and to the community. I think that it has brought some people together, and it certainly has brought Nick and I together. Being, you know, having this shared goal, having this kind of warlike mentality of like, we're in the trenches together, we're going to get through this together, we're going to, you know, talk it out and work collaboratively. So I would absolutely 100% recommend going into work with your family, because you do get a great bond. There is also tricky times as well. So like I think that Nick would appreciate this is like, you know, when he gets squeezed and he's got pressures from being the founder CEO and has the world of the whole company on his shoulders, you know, probably can be more direct with me than some other teammates. But, you know, it's through love and having an open dialogue that you can do that. Nick, is that right? What do you reckon?
Yeah. I think that it can be really challenging, without a doubt. I think it's taken us time to find the right rhythm and to ensure that the lines aren't blurred between family and a colleague. But we really tackled that, I think, probably after, you know, that 12-month period, Andy.
Yep.
We spoke about it a lot. Probably wasn't working perfectly. And to be honest, like, it was probably really my fault, the way I was pushing Andy. And, you know, he, absolute credit to him. Like he has probably the hardest job dealing, you know, reporting to your brother, and I have your strong views on certain things. And Andy's an expert in marketing, where I'm a, you know, I'm becoming a trained expert in marketing. Well, certainly an expert in our own brand, not in other brands, but in Bluestone. You know, and it's just sort of speaks to the way Andy is. Like he's such a magical collaborator. He gets the best out of people. People love being with Andy. They love working with Andy. They love being in teams with Andy. And it's just a credit that he has this level of humility, and he's a great listener, and he can be very receptive to my feedback, which often is delivered, you know, pretty direct. And it's the kind of person I am. I don't think it's often rude, but it can be direct, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and never rude.
Yeah. But, you know, and you know, and Andy gets, let's be honest, Andy gets treated slightly differently to and probably in a way that is more assertive than others, you know, because ultimately he can't decouple me as a brother. And right. The way I often speak to Andy, there's just no way I could speak that transparently to other members of the team. And I think people often see working with your brother as like, you know, there's going to be this favoritism and it's not going to be a meritocracy. And, you know, it's just, I think it's the absolute opposite. Like Andy gets it, Andy gets feedback, and he has to deal with me being frustrated or upset and the passion as a founder. And he just soaks it up, absorbs it, and doesn't react. So I think this is just nonsense, this whole thing that, oh, you know, your brother gets an easy ride. Look, that definitely does not apply in Bluestone Lane. I'm not that type of person. And Andy fights for every little crumb he can. And he often puts the company ahead of himself, no doubt about it. So I'm very grateful. It's worked for us. It doesn't work for everybody, but you know, Andy and I have got, you know, this really unique relationship that we're best friends. We always have been. We've done, you know, we've done a lot together. When I finished playing football, AFL football, Andy and I played together at our local team, and that was wonderful. That was a bit of a childhood dream of us playing in the same team, and we did that for a number of years, and now we have the opportunity to work together. And no, I'm enormously proud of him, and I learned so much from him. Like, that's the reality. And you know, you grow up and you're the older brother, and you sort of learn topics ahead of your younger brother in a linear fashion. You know, you're just older and you're in more advanced school, what have you. But when you leave school and you start working, you suddenly realize, wow, I'm learning a lot from my younger brother about how to do these things. And so much of the Bluestone Lane experience and the benefits I've been able to receive have been as a consequence of Andy coming in with this expert mindset. And he was trained in advertising so professionally.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things when Michael and I were starting Lalo, one of the first comments that I think I said to him...
This happened at a Bluestone Lane.
And this actually did happen at a Bluestone Lane.
Our comment.
This is true. And we were talking about starting a business and, you know, how many co-founders we've seen fail through the experience of becoming co-founders. And I think ultimately what the precedent people have set is that we need to become best friends. But actually, the truth is you need to become more like brothers or sisters with one another, because it's about being able to give that direct feedback and not taking it too hard and knowing that there's still love and respect in the end of the day. So to see you guys have actually taken that while actually being brothers is nothing short of amazing, and is really, I'm sure, really, really special for you two. But I think a lot of the things that you said, like Michael and I think about it as it pertains to our relationship as well. And, you know, we're not actually brothers, but brothers in a much different way.
Yeah, brothers from another mother. So one question I have for you guys is, you both grew up in Australia. You live and have raised families in the US. You also brought Australian culture in a lot of ways to the US in a big way through Bluestone Lane and the expansion of Bluestone Lane, and are introducing, you know, coffee culture and food culture of Australia to Americans. But outside of all the strangers you've done that to, how do you keep it within your own family? How do you bring your the culture, the way you grew up, how do you instill that in your families in America?
It's a very interesting question. I think for me, it's a bit easier because my wife is Australian as well. So the way that we are is, you know, just like a true reflection of, I guess, how we were brought up. So, I think for us, we have principal values that are compatible with whether you're Australian or you're from the United States. And, you know, that's how we bring up our kids, and they've been shaped and honed from our experience growing up in Australia. But certainly, like, I think Andy and I talk about this quite frequently, that the reason that Andy and I have been afforded the wonderful opportunity to live and work in this incredible country, the United States, is because of our very fortunate background in Australia. And I don't mean fortunate from an economic perspective. I mean fortunate because of the environment that and the culture that encourages exploration and teamwork and sports and arts and travel and to be inquisitive. And that is very much the Australian culture. It's quite amazing when I speak to a lot of Americans, they don't realize how small the population of Australia actually is. The country is the size of continental United States, but it only has a 25 million population. So the population is smaller than Texas, but you find Australians all around the world. And it's because we have this pretty unbridled view on travel, and it's actually highly encouraged to go and explore the world and to try new things and to do it as part of teams. Our main sports in Australia are all very team-based, which are cross-functional. You don't have a lot of specialization. And, you know, I think that the quality of life is very, very high. And where we're from in Melbourne, it's perennially voted the most livable city in the world. The quality of education is very, very high. And anyone can go to university or a tertiary trade school, and it can be funded by the government, and you pay it back as you earn. And we have a terrific healthcare system. We have a lot of things that enable you to succeed. And we're certainly not perfect, but I do believe that the experiences that we were so fortunate to have has shaped us. And I think we're trying to, well, I certainly know from our perspective, Alexander and I are really trying to relay that to our children through exploration. And, you know, we'll never decouple that Australian upbringing, and irrespective of where we live here in the US or anywhere else in the world, we'll still raise our kids with those values in mind. And it's very, very important to us.
Awesome. And what about you, Andy? How anything you guys do in particular? And I know Ash is not Australian; she's American. So how do you weave that in? You know, being the sole Australian in your house
at this stage, I think that Nick hit the nail on the head with the values. Ash does also share those values. There's some nuances of that difference between the two cultures and growing up. That is very much true of how, you know, what we're trying to do in our household in the West Village. But, you know, on a novelty sense, like it's pretty straightforward when you walk into the house that there's an Australian kid that lives there. So we've got books and we've got, you know, a lot of the soft furnishings and a lot of Australian fashion, baby fashion. So that is being brought in, subcultural or more overt when we're doing reading time. But, you know, it's at this stage with Harper, she's still taking everything in. She's not processing too much of the two different cultures.
All right. So to close it out, I'm going to put you guys on the spot here. Yeah. You know sure what I'm going to ask, Greg?
I do know. Are you sure you want to ask?
I'll let you ask it. You want me to go for it?
I can do it. I mean, okay. Who would you guys rate, between the two of you, who is the better father?
Well, I haven't had enough experience, but it's going to be huge.
There's no better father. It's just Andy's an outstanding dad, and you know, I think we're all just trying our best. And like, I know this for certain. If I saw things that Andy was doing as a father that really compromised what I believe is our Stone family values, I wouldn't hesitate to let him know and say, "Hey, mate, like, you know, you got to change this. You can't do that." And I think vice versa, Andy would do the exact same thing with me. And I think that we're very, very close to our mother, Denise, and I think she would just be so, she'd be thrilled, even though she's never met Harper, she would be so thrilled in the way that Ash and Andy are bringing her up, and I am as an uncle. And I think she feels the same way about, you know, the effort we put in with our kids. And Last year was the biggest silver lining as it related to spending time with your children and reflecting on what are the priorities. You know, our business, in a space of 2 weeks, we lost 85% of our revenue. We were in this death spiral that we were lucky to make it out. It was the biggest existential threat in hospitality in history. Even during periods of wartime, people still went to the pub and drowned their sorrows and celebrated life or celebrated, you know, victory or the ways that used to be. We weren't allowed to do any of that. But we made it through. But just to spend every breakfast and every night with the kids and my wife was magical. And I'm sure Andy loved that too. And, you know, the year prior, I was traveling every second week. So I just got this time that you'd never want to substitute. So the silver linings have been real. And I guess we're both fortunate that we had children so we could actually spend time with them and make the handling the pandemic a little bit sort of easier, because there was some huge upside from all the tragedy and touch wood. Like, we were very fortunate not to have anyone in our family severely impacted from COVID from a health perspective. So we were very fortunate.
Well, that was a trick question.
Took it seriously.
You passed.
You definitely passed.
You both passed. But Andy, Nick, thank you guys so much for joining us today. We've had a lot of fun chatting with you and learning about both of you as dads.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for the opportunity. Great chat.
Thanks for tuning into the Dad Pod. Let us know who you want to hear on the pod next by DMing us on Instagram at Lalo, that's LALO, or emailing us at dadpod@meetlalo.com.